Remember, we had an Answers in Genesis conference at our church one time. I was a missionary to the university, and he would invite these conference speakers, science speakers, one of them named Mike Riddle, who was, he was a Marine, or he would correct me, once a Marine, always a Marine. He also was an educator, so used to classroom times, you know, got to be done at a certain time. So he'd just say, how long do I have? You tell me, and I'll end right there. And then he looked at me and says, preachers aren't very used to that, are they, being done at a certain time? But I do know I've got a good friend who preaches on the radio each week, and if he's not done, then the radio broadcast is done, whether he's done or not, and so you just kind of learn. I have a number of minutes, and I want to finish some thoughts. And the two scripture passages this morning, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, James 4, verse 13 through verse 17, that's your indication of where I'm going in my thoughts today. We're looking at plans today. We've been planning all week for a project feel like we're in a little bit over our head, and if we feel like that, then we're in a good place, because we are in over our head. This project is bigger than us. The ability to do it is larger than our ability. Certainly, the ability to provide the means to do it is beyond our ability. And if we understand that, if we start with that premise, that God is the one we are looking to from start to finish, then we're in a good place. And if we continue that mindset through the planning process, we will do well. And so I want to remind us of some things. I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know. I'm not going to even try to be profound this morning. I'm just going to remind us of some things so that we can have the right heart and the right mindset as we go into a day, an exciting day such as today. And so before we go any further, I do want to bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you have provided for us. Lord, you have blessed this church abundantly. And I thank you for how you have done so, not because of the pastor, but perhaps in spite of, or just because you love to bless your church. The Holy Spirit loves to work and show himself mighty, show himself good and abundant. And you have definitely done that in obvious ways. And we are grateful. We're not taking credit for it. We're not looking at ourselves saying, wow, we must be something. Because, Lord, we are not. We are but dust and ashes, as Job said. And it's because of your mercy and grace and your goodness and your abundance that we have been blessed. And this is what you love to do. And we pray that it would continue. But Lord, meanwhile, help us to have the right heart, the heart of humility, the heart of dependence, and the heart of anticipation as we see what you are doing, and as we long to see even more great works of God and draw closer to you in the meantime. I pray that you would guide my thoughts, and I pray that our hearts would be united in these thoughts, because this is where we need to be. We need to be looking to the scriptures for our thought process. We need to be looking to our Heavenly Father, the great provider, the abundant God that we have. And I ask that you would remind us of these necessary and wholesome and exciting and, Lord, these blessed things. I pray that as we look at your word these next few minutes, that we would be encouraged. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. This is a passage that is part of Brother Putnam's presentation to the churches. Very fitting as he comes preparing a church for a building project, and then as the church is ready for the building project, then a team of builders, professional level, skill level, they know how to plan, they know how to set down a budget, they know how to construct a building in a quality way, and yet there's so much planning. There's so much that depends on the church. I appreciate how Brother Putnam this week, even with some ideas that seemed a little bit of a stretch, he said, well, let's talk about that. Let's look at this. Let's consider it. And so he has not directed us in the sense of told us what to do, but he has helped us with, well, will this work? Is this even feasible? And one of the passages that he shared with us was Luke 14, verse 28 through 30. And I find it interesting that in the context, Jesus is talking about being a follower, a disciple of him. If you're looking to commit your life, every part of your life, to Jesus Christ, that takes some faith, some abandon, some self-denial. So if you're going to do that, it's not just something you do on a whim. It's not just something to say after an emotional sermon or an emotional film or something to say, I'm going to do that. No, you need to sit down and really count the cost before you make a commitment like that. Jesus said you need to take it serious. Verse 28, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he hath laid the foundation is not able to finish it, and all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. When I read that passage, a vivid memory comes to mind. When I was in high school, so from the years of my life, ninth grade through 12th grade, the high school years, we went to a church named Oak Forest Baptist Temple, south of Chicago. And that church was running about 250 when we were attending. I think they had been larger at one point. In fact, they had a building, an auditorium, probably about this capacity, maybe larger. They didn't use that. They had a school, so they used the chapel, what was the auditorium. And in the meantime, every service was in the gymnasium, every week, Sunday services. Wednesday was in the chapel. And 250 people all on metal folding chairs. Of course, there was a school, so the chairs were taken down each week, and the gym was used, and then set back up. Not the ideal situation. Well, in the meantime, they had had a building program, and they had built a slab and then a steel frame structure. Pretty impressive if it was going to be finished. By the time we came, and my family attended there for 4 years, the years I was in high school, and that, I don't remember how many years that structure had been there. But they had started and then just plumb ran out of money. And that structure sat there for years. And if you look at verse 29, all that go by will mock and say wasn't able to finish. That's what it was in that community. It was a joke. And that church never did get to finish that project. They started, but they weren't able to finish. And I found out later that the financial decisions made through that process were not wise. They jumped the proverbial gun, and they became a laughingstock. And so for me personally, I look at a passage like that, and now as I'm looking at our situation as a church, I say, I know one thing not to do, and that's to get ahead of God's plans. Because he's the one that builds the church, not us. He's the one that blesses. He's the one that provides. We are not even able to. And so, by the way, I was going to say this later in the sermon, but I'll say it now. I think a wise, I'm not thinking of the word. I want to say provision, but that's just not the right word. But there's a statement in our church bylaws that say we will not borrow money for a project. I really am grateful for that statement. Because as far as discerning God's will, you say, well, is it time? Let's go to the bank and see if it's time. No. Or as Dr. Olala from Northland would joke, he says, some people trust in Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, and some people trust in Jehovah Visa. And when churches get ahead of God's provision, they get themselves in trouble. A church we attended in Minnesota, they finished the building, but then they were in a great deal of debt. And then there's a lot of worries. What if that family leaves? I don't want to make them unhappy. What if attendance goes down? Then the money's not coming in. What do we do then? And I'll say again, I am grateful for a statement in our bylaws that direct our steps, in, as it were, to say, well, I know what we're not going to do. We're not going to go into debt for this project. That makes it so simple, doesn't it? That doesn't mean we like it. That doesn't mean we're like, oh, I'm so glad we can't build right now. No, that's not the point. The point is we can discern very clearly if it's not time to build yet. That is, if the money's not there, then it's not time to build. Lord, we're not going to get ahead of you. And Lord, when it's time, let's see, can God provide a few thousand dollars? Is he able to do that? Let's think about this. What kind of God do we serve? We serve a God who is wise, not just rich, but wise. And I'll use an illustration in just a moment of where I believe we are in reference to our Heavenly Father in these type of things. But let me say, after saying those things, I want to say, biblically, the concept of planning is not only a good thing, it's a necessary thing. Planning, as Jesus even said in this passage, it would be crazy, it would be foolish to embark on a major mission without planning carefully first. Planning, oh yes, is necessary. But planning with the right spirit, with the right attitude. Proverbs 16, verse 9 has something to say about this concept of planning. Proverbs 16, verse 9 says, a man's heart devises his way. We all have some sort of plan for the various areas of our life. But the Lord directs his steps. There's nothing wrong with planning. In fact, planning is something that the Bible just assumes, kind of like we love ourselves. God knows that we love ourselves. So he says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So this verse says, a man's heart devises his way. You've all got plans, but it's the Lord that actually directs those steps. And as we've known by personal experience on all levels, daily and on the life level, we can make plans and we can have great intentions, but then, as the phrase that I use often, then life happens. And many times those plans don't come to fruition. And often, as Christians, we look back and we say, I'm so glad that didn't happen. I'll use an example in my life. I went to college in 1993. That's when I started. I finished a four-year degree in 1998. Can you do the math there? Okay, we'll just say that academically, I wasn't the most diligent fellow. I had to learn some lessons that had not a lot to do with the classroom directly. I had to learn some character lessons. I took 5 years to get a four-year degree. If I would have finished on time, I would have never met a pretty young girl named Jessica Mays, because she came in 97. And I would have graduated, and I met her in 1997. So from my failure, my lack of planning, my lack of all sorts of things, God used that in my life to provide for me the most wonderful thing besides salvation itself. God does use even our trips and falls in order to provide for us in his bigger, better plan for us. We all have those plans, but it's the Lord that directs the steps. I want to use an illustration, and that is one of a six-year-old boy. Just imagine a six-year-old boy making plans, and oh, six-year-olds do make plans. Imagine a six-year-old planning his day with no other input from anybody. How many of you have a six-year-old? I'm raising my hand. Or have had a six-year-old. Okay. A six-year-old planning his day. What does meals look like? Desserts, man. First and last. How about clothes? You're going to wear whatever you feel like. Now, I'm going to use our four-year-old as an illustration. Very cute, but not always practical. Our four-year-old daughter. Very cute, but not always practical. But she, I'm telling you, every morning she goes in to her room and she gets herself dressed, and then sometimes she goes back and gets herself dressed all over again. How about school? Six-year-old, he's got plans. Yeah, right. Bedtime for a six-year-old? Who needs that? So he's planning his day. He's got plans, but how well do those work? How about a six-year-old building a house? Now, if you want to say a small house, the project birdhouse maybe, or even more laughable, a big house. He's got plans. He's got a hammer and nails, a saw. He's got wood. He's got a yardstick. What could possibly go wrong? There's been times where my boys have started a project, and I said, I can't help you right now, but maybe later if you're willing to wait, I can help you. I want to do it now. I want to do it. Okay. Sometimes those projects end up quite interesting. Now, as they're getting older, they're getting better at it, but there's been some trial and error. But just, again, imagine a six-year-old building a house. How about a six-year-old planning a family road trip? That's quite an adventure. A man who thinks he can plan his life without God is like that six-year-old who thinks he's got it all together. I'm going to plan my day. I'm going to plan my trip. I'm going to build my house. We, in reference to our Heavenly Father, are like that six-year-old. And the Heavenly Father says, okay, I'm willing to help you if you're willing for me to help you. I'm not going to butt in and intervene unless you invite me to do so. But it's a wise and smart six-year-old that says, Daddy, I need your help. I don't know how to do this. Or when Dad says, no, you're not allowed to do that, and say, okay, Daddy, I'll do it your way. Isn't that an illustration of us in reference to our Heavenly Father? Doesn't God interrupt our plans sometimes? And don't we get a bit frustrated? But then we look back and we say, oh, wow, Lord, thank you for interrupting my plans. And then when we wait on God and when we depend on Him for help, things go so much better. God, particularly the Holy Spirit, does not interrupt if we will not look to Him. He doesn't bowl us over. He waits for us to, through the circumstances, to say, okay, I'm ready for your help now. We'd be so much wiser to start and all through the project with, Lord, I need your help. Direct me. Provide as you see fit. I do want us to go back to James chapter 4 and with these thoughts. James chapter 4. Again, it's not the planning that is the problem with this, with the individuals that, as of course this is an analogy, an allegory. It's not the planning that is what's wrong here. It's the absence of dependence upon their Heavenly Father. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a place and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. You know, just think about this. You that are making big plans for business or for ambition. Verse 14, whereas you do not know what will be on the morrow. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. I'm reminded of Luke chapter 12, that rich man that said, hey, I've got lots of goods. I'm going to build a tower. I'm going to store those goods. And God says, you fool. Why was he a fool? Because he wanted to build a tower? No, because he said, I will do this. And the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The Christian fool has said in his heart that God doesn't matter. That my plans are my plans, and God, you know, he's out there. God's in charge. Yeah, sure. But I've got to, no, that's a foolish attitude. And God has ways of showing us our foolishness. Verse 15 says, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we will do this. We will live, do this and that. Some thoughts before we close today. God is interested in our plans. God is not this aloof, cosmic being. God is intimately interested in our plans on a personal level, but I would feel especially on a level of a church. Ephesians 5:25 says Jesus gave himself for the church. He gave his life for the church. Why would he not be interested in the affairs and the plans of a church? Jesus is the one that said, I will build my church. Would Christ want his church to grow? Of course he does. Of course he wants it to prosper. Of course he delights to bless it. And he has. But what does blessing look like? Does that mean that a building happens? Maybe, but maybe not. And we need to be like that smart 6-year-old instead of the foolish 6-year-old to say, Father, you help me. You provide for me. Planning is an opportunity to seek the Lord. Planning is an opportunity to grow in our faith. And planning, of course, is an opportunity to see God work in extraordinary ways and for him to get all the glory, because we know it's not us. It's his timing, his way, his provision, his plan, and his church. And so in closing, I want to remind us of those familiar verses in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for this local assembly, which is part of your great body, your church, your bride. Lord, you have great plans for your church, and you have already shown yourself so abundantly good, and you have lavished blessings upon us, and we are grateful for that. We are thankful that we have this opportunity to have this meeting, to plan for this day and looking forward, and we are looking to you for the wisdom to properly make these plans. And also we're looking to you for provision to provide in the way that you see fit. Maybe that takes a long time. Maybe that takes a short time with you providing in an extraordinary and surprising way. We are looking forward to finding out. But we are looking to you every step of the way. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. And we thank you already for what you have done. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's close our service with number 461, a couple of